Hello again, everyone. This is Luca Maino on Learn to Unlearn. We're trying something new this time. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to end up playing the whole song for you because it's kind of nice. We are back again. And this is for another good show. And I'm going to let the song play just before I say thank you to everybody. So let's listen to it together. Major malfunction, yeah, is right. Major malfunction, I guess. I'm going to stop the song here because I'd like to get back to the normal routine of things first. I hope everybody can hear me. This is Luca Maino. We are back on Learn to Unlearn. Hello, everybody. Wow, that was incredible. Steve and I are talking, and then right before going on, you hear this like static, like white noise coming in and then disappearing, then coming in again. All of a sudden, I lost everything. Couldn't hear. And, you know, right before you start the show, you know, it's like somebody's watching you pushing a button. So I had to restart. And here I am again. Very, very interesting. So this is the way I'd like to start the shows from now on, with that song, because it's kind of nice. It's got a good groove to it. And you can talk behind it, right? I like it. I hope everybody does. They looked like they were going, yay, you know, Luca's song. So this is not Sonny Came Home anymore or Luca Came Home anymore, because my instinct was going, you know, you have good little jingles. Why don't you use them for now, you know, and we'll see how things go. So, well, here we are again. And I wanted to start by saying hello to our producer. Let's start with him before he, divulges everything here. hello, Steve. How you doing?
Hello, hello, Annie, everybody at Shake and Wake, and Luca, and the FBI handler that just zapped Luca a few minutes ago. Hello to you, too.
It was funny how it worked, because it's on my show for people out of Scotland, and that's what I play for an intro. I didn't really think anything of it. And as soon as it went live, it got canceled out of Russia. Oh, copyright infringement. You know, this isn't a copyright infringement. This is a warning. Unbelievable. Not even 35 seconds of the song. So my instinct goes, you know what? Time to go. You know, time to go. You know, from the Pink Floyd movie. And that's pretty well what it is. Yes, Luca, turn on your timer since you forgot again. Anyway, so this is it's a way for me to do what I do, so I won't get into trouble. Okay. Annie keeps telling me go with the flow, which reminds me also to say hello to everybody in the chat, i.e. Melissa and Sarah and Boston Mark and all everybody else listening that can't write or that are working or whoever. My other mother. From another mother. That should be interesting. Bible Thumper Mom and a couple of other ones, Spudman and those. I miss you guys every week, right? So I had a joke. First of all, before I let go of the song, I got to say this. Let's listen to the song again for a second, okay? Okay. Where would you clap when you hear this? Where do you feel like clapping? Okay, please tell me it's 2 and 4. Because the joke is you have people dancing and they clap on the 1 and the 3. Clap. 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 Right? It drives me nuts. Or you get them, they're going clap, clap, clap. Right? Drives me absolutely berserk. Sure you do. Boston Mark says he doesn't have a clue. Sure you do. When you want to clap, you clap on the 2 and 4, which is right where the snare is. Clap. 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 That's that's the groove of the song. And I don't know for how long in the music industry you get these people that just come on and they clap. You know, some of them don't even have a beat when they're clapping. Oh, my God. Right? So I had to make everybody laugh for a little bit because that's something that's it's really important as a musician. You know, no, don't marry her if she can't clap on the 2 and 4. Forget it. So Annie keeps saying to me, go with the flow. And that's I got to maybe start with that because.
Probably not the clap.
No, not the clap. No, but the fact that I was told to go with the flow. How many times did you hear that, Luca? That was my first teacher in the spirit world. My first teacher in spirituality. How many times did I hear that? You know, when you want to get somebody's attention or you want to get somebody to understand something, what do? You drill them, right? With the same thing over and over and over, okay? This is what he would say all the time. Go with the flow, Luca. Never mind. Drop your watch. No, as a matter of fact, next time you come here, I don't want to see that watch. And stop coming here with your girlfriend on your mind, which is what I would do all the time because it would be a fight for me to go to visit him every time because she knew what it was about. And she was working with DFO, Department of Fisheries and Oceans. Oh, you mean the people that were fighting with the Indians offshore about the lobster season story? Non-native fishermen against the fishermen? Yeah, against the native? Yeah, okay, we got it. Right. See, so she's working for one clan and I'm trying to represent the other. Well, that's what I found out. It took me our relationship of 11 years to figure that out. But go with the flow. Yeah, you have to, you know, because if you go against it, you're going to be fighting the whole way. What he means and what Annie means is just to relax as much as you can live on the air. Right. And just to go with it. So I have a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. Yes. I have a couple of clips I want to play for you today. Yes. I really want to mention the price of food in Nunavut. Where? In Nunavut, Canada. Well, yeah, let's start with that because that's kind of a joke, too. I'm going through my diploma. This is a high school diploma I'm going for. This is not the GED. Okay? It's not one test and that's it. I decided to go back to seventh grade and learn from subtractions, addition, multiplication, division, everything, right? Go up from there. And I was in the 11th year. And I think I mentioned that about Acadia and the Acadian deportation of 1755. I mentioned that I had to do that for my last thesis. Well, in geography class one day, this is internet classes, okay? You have five classes at different places in the province that are hooked up together by internet. So you have 20 people per class. It's like over 100 people together. And you have a button in the middle of the table that you can hit if you want to say something, right? Okay. Well, there's Luca listening intently when he's talking about Nunavut as a province. And this is when Nunavut was, quote unquote, recognized by the federal government. Not very pretty. And he says, we gave Nunavut to the Indians, to the Native American population. First Nations is what he said, because that's how most people say it in Canada. And there goes Luca right on the button. I said, no, sir, I'm sorry. We didn't give it to them. We gave it back to them. And there's like a 10 or 15 second silence. And then you hear, yes, of course. As far as that goes, yes, you're right, Luca. We did give it back to them because it was stolen in the first place. And I pushed a button on again. I said, yes, exactly. Okay. Let's say things the way they are. See, and this, I'm talking to you people so many times about so many things, so many posts, so many times when people are going to be changing things a little, you know, well, you know, we're going to change this a little bit and make this sound a little bit more like this than that, right? And they pretty soon they change the definition of things, and then it's forgotten. And I've seen it so many times. That's another divide and conquer strategy, right? Well, I kind of like stopping stuff. When no. Nunavut was not given to them. No, we stole every bit of it. What did Dr. Roland Christian, PhD, say? Over 90% of Canada, if you add it all up, just, you know, Canada just writes their name over that piece of land on the map because they can, right? So the Pequot Massacre is something that I promised last week that we couldn't do, that I would like to get into with my best friend, my brother from another mother from Rolling Bear. And as a promise to Annie, I did want to talk about getting out of the box, the Rockefeller box, and start talking about hemp and his role, you know, with the FDA and with cancer, and, you know, how they actually were talking about, you know, cancer is great because that helps with the depopulation process and let's get them as sick as we can, right? This is not Luca inventing anything. And I haven't said my disclaimer in a while for people who maybe are coming on for the first time, which I hope they do and they like it. My disclaimer says that if it's not true to the best of my ability, and if it's not useful to you, and if it's not necessary, then what's the point of even talking about it? We're wasting our time, right? So that's my motto. And I heard that from the three sieves, which was from Socrates. And I thought, what a great idea, right? So why don't we do that? Very important from a nurse that speaks out about MRC5 in vaccines that I'm setting up probably for next week, which is really important. There's a Fox News alert. Steve, I don't know if you heard this, or you might have been the one who gave it to me. I'm not sure, but there was a Fox alert with one of the lowest IQ of all the hosts on Fox. She's young too, and she's like, anyway, I'll be nice this time. But they're talking about no air marshals on air flights because they're all occupied with what's going on with January 21st, right? With the border, right?
Yeah, I could have passed that to you, maybe.
Because I heard that, and I'd like to play that. It's relatively quick, and it sticks with the news also, which is something I like. And a couple of other really, you know, important things going on, including Indian lore, which is what I really like. It's kind of a joke because they, you know, Indian lore. Yeah, as if it's old news, as if it's museum pieces, and it's all dead and gone, right? No, it's not. But let's stick with this air marshals first, because this is kind of interesting, and Steve and I can watch this while we're listening.
So how many air marshals are on planes right now, and how many do you think there should be to get to a safe level?
Well, Carly, we're not flying right now. The only missions that we're doing are quiet skies missions, and those are missions that are following the January 2021 people. So we're either on the border for illegal immigrants, or we're following folks from January 2021. We're not doing our regular missions where we're out there looking for the bad guys. So right now on most flights, you're not going to have air marshals.
What do you mean by that? You're following January 2021 people. What does that mean?
That means our primary mission is a little group called Quiet Skies. It's a mission called Quiet Skies that we're following people that flew into the National Capital Region in January 2021. You did not have to go to the Capitol or the rally, and you've been put on a specific list that TSA now has assigned air marshals to follow these people who have not had any type of criminal investigation. They haven't committed a crime, but yet 3 years later, we're following the same individuals day in and day out.
So you're saying that air marshals are now following people that were at the Capitol on January 6th, and they're not tracking terrorists at all?
Well, they didn't even have to be at the Capitol, Carly. They could have just flown into the National Capital Region. So if anybody was there for a job interview, to visit family, we even had a gentleman that was there for a funeral. They put on this domestic terrorist list just because of their geographic location to Washington, D.C. So these people did not even commit a crime. They weren't even at the Capitol.
What? Do those people know that they're on this list?
Some of them do, because when they go to the airport, they get the QUADISs on their boarding pass, and then they have to go through enhanced security. Then they're followed by teams of air marshals on any leg of flight that they have. So, yes, a lot of them do know that they're being followed, yet they haven't been vetted, and they have not committed a crime. And 3 years later, we're still doing the same duty, and we followed the same people over and over for 3 years who are no threat to this country.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so if you are an average passenger on a plane, how concerned should you realistically be?
I think you should be very concerned. When you're boarding the aircraft, you need to look around to see who you might be able to ask to help you, like a good Samaritan, because you're on your own. If anything happens, please don't wait. There's going to be no law enforcement that's going to help you. So you need to have a plan. Look where the exit doors are. Look where attendants are standing around you, but I would look at other passengers to see, you know, be looking around for a football player or somebody, a pretty big guy or a couple big guys, in case you needed to take action.
Wow.
Yeah, wow is right. So that, what, they're basically saying you're on your own, right? Steve, help me out on this one. This is like,
that's what
okay.
It sounds like to me.
See, so what I'm seeing, okay, this is, again, this is Luca. This is like my little world here, right? What I'm seeing is that they're getting so well paid, and Steve, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think I am, though. They're getting so well paid, and they're getting promised such a beautiful future, as the Indians were when they ratted on their own people and they helped genocide their own people, that they don't say anything. You should see the look of this lady's face. Yes, ma'am, we're just following these people 3 years after this, and they haven't committed a crime at all, and you're following. They have no reason to be followed at all, and you're following. See what I mean? So it's like I think they're setting up all different kinds of avenues to spend all kinds of money, because it has to go somewhere, right? B, you have to make sure that you don't leave trails. Money leaves a trail everywhere. It's like, you know, I had to share that one because that's, again, it's mind-boggling, you know, and I'm glad I'm not flying, which kind of brings me to another type of subject, because when we come back from this little interview, the interlude that I like so much, we're going to talk a little heavier. This is another one that I wrote that I like a lot for a boat company, you know, with the splashing of the waves and the boat flying up and down, you know, hitting the waves and stuff. It was for Millennium Marine that I wrote this. And it brings me to the next subject. I have a really important clip from Norman Finkelstein. I always... There must be some dyslexia involved there, because I always get the L and the F's mixed up. Norman Finkelstein. And he talks about Israel, and it's really alarming for me, because I just happened to dig out the 1948 Convention on the Prevention of the International Crime of Genocide. That's the title, okay? 1948, and a guy by the name of Raphael Lemkin coined that word, genocide, death of the people, killing the people, genos and side. So, you know, they always say, like, especially with the Native Americans, there is a clause, there is a part of an article, if you know it well enough, that says... shifting people or moving people from one group to another group is considered genocide. It's written in there, in the convention. You cannot argue it. You can't change anything. And I'm actually showing it to Steve right now, because I took a picture of it. The following acts shall be punishable. Genocide, conspiracy to commit genocide. This is Netanyahu's government is guilty of all of these. Direct and public incitement to commit genocide, attempt to commit genocide, complicity in genocide, right? Article 2. In the present convention, genocide means any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group. See, I can say this well because I'm used to reading this one. A, killing of the members of the group. B, causing serious bodily harm or mental harm to the members of the group. C, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. D, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group. And E, listen to this, forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. As far as the Native Americans go, there's a lot of things you can argue about genocide, but Article 2, Section E, and I've said it before on this show, you cannot argue about. That's what they did. Right back to John A. Macdonald in Canada, instructing the newly formed Northwest Mounted Police, 1880-something or other, 86, 87, I think, to go into these villages, towns and villages, take the children away from their parents, rip them away from their family settings, work with the churches. Okay, I've talked about this before. But in Israel's case, it's exactly the same thing. People who do not understand how America committed genocide against the natives so successfully should look at the tactics being used against Gazans. They come for your kids and family. They surround you and starve you. They use dehumanizing language to describe you, and they speak of God while doing it. Okay? And this is exactly what he's talking about. So I want to play that clip for you because, you know, we're talking, you know, if you get used to his voice quick enough, because it takes me a while because of the frequency of his voice. And then once you grab a hold of it, you understand what he's saying. And it's amazing. He even argues with the person interviewing him. Let's have a listen.
No food, no water, no electricity.
But they get water from the ground wells.
No, they don't. 97% of the water is poisonous from the ground wells. 97% is poisonous.
According to
everybody.
No, CNN,
I mean, there's
CNN
so much
reported,
there's so much research done on the water situation in Gaza.
I'm no expert in Gaza.
Okay, 97% is not fit for human consumption. It's not potable.
Okay.
So now you add those three sentences, statements up, and what do you get? It means the entire human population of Gaza, of whom more than 1 million are children. They will not have access to food. They will not have access to water. They will not have access to fuel or electricity, which means all the hospitals will be inoperative. The hospitals cannot operate without the fuel. We're also told that the entire population is a legitimate target for the Israeli army. When you add those statements up together, I can't see how it's possible to conclude that Israel has launched anything except a war of genocide against the people of Gaza.
And that's it. And that's what they've always wanted, right? Netanyahu has always wanted Iran, right? Go back to 1982. Iran, Iran, Iran this, Iran that. We can't arm Iran, blah, blah, blah. Iran with nuclear warheads or whatever, right? Anything Iran. Before, on other shows, we heard together about how Netanyahu was behind Iraq, Afghanistan. Oh, we got to do something about the Muslims or something's going to happen and 9/11 is going to happen when he wrote the book in 1995, right? We know all of that. Well, follow that back and guess what? We follow that back really quick before we get into the Native American segment, which is what I would like to finish with if I have the time. Wars, all wars are bankers' wars. Yeah, we know that. All wars are bankers' wars, right? We know that. We've heard it before. But when you see it in front of you, like I'm seeing it right now, I'm showing it to Steve as we speak because we're sharing screens. I've said it before. The American Civil War, for example, was engineered by the Rothschild banking elite. something else you can't argue. I'm not saying it's the truth. I'm saying you can't argue that because that's what the truth is. The Rothschilds used the divide and conquer strategy to take back America by creating a conflict between the North and the South. Just like they're just like they created, Luca, a conflict between the whites, you know, between the colors of race, the whites and the blacks against the whites and vice versa. That's all Kalergi and Tavistock. That's all. It's all planned ahead of time. They want to exactly what that says, a divide and conquer strategy to do whatever they want. In this case, the North was to be a British colony annexed to Canada and under the control of Lionel Rothschild. The South was to be a French colony given to Napoleon III of France and under the control of James Rothschild. Oh, and Abraham Lincoln tries to do this. He tries to stop this with the greenback, and we know what happened to him. And look at this, John Wilkes Booth, a member of the Knights of the Golden Circle. Huh? Right? So there's always a common denominator in all of it. And then there's Rothschild himself, Lord, in parentheses. Jacob Rothschild has admitted his family was crucial in the creation of Israel. Duh, right? Most of us will feel that. And this is why it was so dangerous for me before, like when I started out, because this is what I felt, and I knew it without knowing it. Right, I knew it without knowing it. If you know what I know, you know what I'm talking about. Because that's what your instinct does when you're hooked up with your instinct. It's like, wow, okay. Well, guess what? Greater Israel project planned since the 1980s or earlier, 1982. And what are they going to do? They're going to flood Europe with Muslims or with Arabs, whatever, you know, even both. Okay, and that's part of the Kalergi plan also. See, nobody knows this stuff, so they can't put this stuff together. According to a lot of people, it all started in, you know, in 1948, the Nakba. And, you know, I can keep going on this and go, oh, look at that. You know, what do we have here? Well, we have, what's his name? That general, Wesley Clark, saying, oh, I don't understand it either, but we're going to invade 7 countries in 5 years, ending with Iran. Okay, that's funny. In the year 2000, there were only, what, 9 countries left without Rothschild central banks? You see what I mean? This is all this is about. Yeah, I'm seeing it in the chat already. You know, it's all – you don't even have to say the J word. It's international Zionists is what it is. You don't – you have to use the H word either. Or the N-word. I don't know why people use the N-word. Nobody knows what Nazi really means unless you really look deep into it and you find out what it means. It's a international Rothschild creation as a word to bastardize Hitler's party and to make fun of them and to propagandize against them. Basically, they use the last part of the party, the word Nazi. Demokratische. Anyway, I used to be able to say it, but they use that part and kind of used that word as to say sissies, you know, Nazi, you know, like sissies type thing, making fun of them. That's all it was. See, and everybody thinks they're proud and they know what it is and they come up with that word. And again, it's all the definitions that are changing. If you don't know about history, not only are you're meant to repeat it, but you can't put anything together, and that's nothing fit. Hitler, the only thing we know about him is that he killed 6 million people and he's a monster. Oh, okay.
Hey, are you ready for your break?
Pardon?
Are you ready for your break?
Okay. I got 25 on my counter. That's why. Okay.
You started about 3 minutes early.
Yeah. And I started 3 minutes without the counter.
Yes.
That's why. So Luca's going to get this out here live on the air. See, we're not even worried anymore. We're just having fun, taking our time, doing what we do best. And as Annie says so well, go with the flow, Luca. We'll be right back after this message from TLBTalk.com, where you should be and where I am if you want to come find me.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Yes, exactly. That's what we should be doing. And that's where we should be. And that's where I am. Big sigh. Because I promised you guys something last week and I got everybody all cranked up. You guys want to hear about the real Thanksgiving this week or next week? And everybody said, this week. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I kind of blew that one, didn't I? I got to do this because it's once a year, and it's important, and it's featuring my best friend, my brother from another mother. It's not that long. It's just when once you listen to his voice, you just sit there and you melt. I'm not sure if too many people know what I mean, those people that you listen to and they can actually make you fall asleep. Like he'll have his dog on his lap, lying down on his lap pretty soon, you know, within ear range. Right. And the dog just poonk, falls asleep. He tells the story of the Pequot Massacre and I literally have to keep him on track. You'll hear me in the background talking about this. And I think I played it last year. Most of us kind of think of this type as this time of year is all good, right? It's all about giving thanks. And that's what I thought my entire life. I'm not criticizing that at all. I'm just going, wow, you know, Thanksgiving. Okay, what are we thankful for? Tell me. Well, it's not really about thanks, Luca. It's more about the arrogance. And the oppression and, oh boy, the easiness that we have with other humans. Oh, that's right. They didn't call them human beings either, did they? Washington said that the Indian and the fox, although they differ in shape, they're both forest dwellers. You know, they're both savage. They're both animals of the forest. Literally, they're not human. Okay. Well, like Michael Parenti says, well, okay, if you can convince yourself that they're not humans, you don't have to give them the respect of being human, right? Well, geez. Christopher Columbus and his men sure didn't have a problem figuring out that those beautiful young girls and young women were actually human, right? If you've been to Afghanistan recently and you ask how the tribal people feel about women, they hate them worse than dogs, okay? And that comes out of my best friend, brother from another's mouth, okay? He didn't have a problem shooting them because that's how they felt about women and about children and about dogs. It's incredible, okay? It depends on the acumen. It depends on the culture. It depends on you. It depends on the people themselves that you deal with. You know, you're very quickly, you're sent to Sudan to help with digging a well, right? They have to come and dig, you know, for the people to have water. You know that the Sudanese sit there and they just look at them. No, we're not going to help you. You dig the ditch for us. And these are adult men. These are people in good health. You know, they will not help. They won't help themselves. No. And Rolling Bear says that he sees that all the time where he's been. You're going to help people. They won't even help themselves. The majority of the people will not help themselves. And usually if you see somebody that does want to do the opposite of what his peers would like to do or whatever, represent, he'll be shunned for it. So It's really amazing. People will not help themselves, usually. I found that really interesting. So you take that and you take the violence and the might makes right attitude coming here. It's funny because they fled from persecution in Europe only to come here. And then how do they say that? They inflict the same thing on the people that actually helped save their life, if that makes any sense. Well, basically, no, I'm not going to tell you the story. I'm going to have Rolling Bear say it because it's too good to ruin. So I'm going to let him talk. And this comes from where I grew up. These are not my people. My people are the Mi'kmaq because I wasn't made part of the Wampanoag tribe. But this is where I lived on Martha's Vineyard, the Indian tribe that I grew up with, that I played with the Indians of the tribe because that's where Martha's Vineyard is. It's a part of the Wampanoag, so I grew up there. And this is really like my people as well, so it means a hell of a lot more to me this time to play it on the air for everyone. Okay, this is Rolling Bear. Rolling Bear, we've been talking a lot about Thanksgiving and about how to make it right. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're here to discuss. And one thing you keep telling me about, and I'm horrified about, and I think people should know about, is the Pequot Massacre. And I've lined all this up in the interview, and I just wanted to have you explain to us what's going on and what happened.
The Pequot were really close in geographical sense to where the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. And they had an early meeting early on with these new Americans. They didn't recognize them, but they knew they were a different kind of people than they'd seen before. But as all indigenous people are, they are giving. You know, Native people are always a giving, sharing person. People, as a people, we're a culture that shares and gives. And so they knew these people wanted land to live on, and they said, "Now we're going to share some of our territory with you and give you, you know, enough land that you can sustain yourselves on and continue to have your lives on into the future, and this land will be yours." And so they taught them to plant, the three sisters. They taught the three sisters, you know, being the story that we'll probably talk about in a later time. But they taught them to plant the corn, beans, and squash. They taught them how to hunt because the Europeans, had, you know, the game was decimated in Europe and you couldn't hunt there. Unless you were hierarchy, you know, like fox hunting or hunting stag, that was left to the rich. And here they had to hunt to be able to sustain themselves, so they had to learn. Well, you know, this was fine for a while. But you go on into the future, you know, a few years, and they've learned to sustain themselves. They've had children. Their children have had children. And their population is growing, and you know they're still on the same amount of land, because of this, they asked for more land, and the Pequot gave them some more land, and then they outgrew that, and they asked for more land, and the Pequot understood that, you know, this is never going to stop. And they said, "Now look, you need to control your population because that's all, or go to another direction because we're not giving you any more land. We need what we have now to sustain the people we have. And, you know, you only allow the number of people that the land can sustain to reproduce."
Say that again.
You only allow the number of number of people that can reproduce can never be more than the land can sustain.
That was an Indian tradition.
Yep. Yes, it was. Now, in those days, we were still practicing birth control, for one thing. So if a woman was allowed one child, if she had twins, then one child, she had to pick a child. The other child could be adopted to another mother that couldn't have children if she wanted it. And if they couldn't find someone that didn't have a child to take a child, that had to be euthanized. One of the children had to go. One way or another, you were only allowed one child because you couldn't overpopulate the land. You know, you don't want to use the resources up. It has to be a renewable thing. You have to allow the land to renew itself. You know, just like when we take plants, we never take the first one. You know, we always put down tobacco and say a prayer. I was always taught you ask the plant if it's okay. Yeah. If you feel like it's saying yes, then you never take the first one. You take the second one, and then you always skip one. You take one, you leave one. You take that way, you never take too much. And you never.
I'm gonna stop there for a second because I never stopped there before, but I'm going to with you because you know and you understand what I'm going to say. You heard of the thankfulness towards nature? It's mind-boggling because, and I think this is the reason why nothing is changing, because most people, they're in denial, okay? And for a very good reason. This isn't cognitive dissonance. This is on purpose because most people, working people, the high-class people, or even middle-class to high-class that are making money, right? They know that if they start understanding what's going on elsewhere, that they're going to be responsible for changing it. And they don't want that, right? So they kind of fake that they have their head in the sand and they keep doing what they're doing and they don't care, right? They don't care. Just like that lady talking about how there's no air marshals anymore on planes. Oh, that's the way it is. Okay? And you turn around and you start to understand how you're a part of nature and nature is a part of you. You return to the earth, etc., Mother Earth, and the respect for matriarchy and Mother Earth, the whole other side that they don't want you to understand. All of a sudden, that becomes a part of your life. And that's literally what I do with Rolling Bear. When we go out, you don't pick the first one. When you go out and you want to make dandelion tea, there are 20 of them. You know, you're on your knees. You have your tobacco in one hand, usually not the hand you take from, usually my right hand because I'm left-handed. And I pick with my left, so I have the tobacco in my right. And you say, thank you for giving me my health. You don't say, well, I want to give thanks for possibly getting my health. If I do it right. Okay? It's all about intent. Everything is about intent. And I've never heard a more beautiful heart than this guy here talk about intent.
And you never take a plant that's in its seed time. You know, you never kill the seed. If the seed is mature, then you can take the plant, but you take the seed and you plant it back. That's the way I was taught.
So what happened?
Well, what happened was the pilgrims, their descendants of the pilgrims, decided that, you know, they're not going to give us more land. So what are we going to do? They decided, oh, we'll just wipe them out. We'll just take all their land. Why keep asking them? Why keep fighting with them? And it was a common thing where they believed they were just low-life creatures of the woods to be used at the convenience of man. And they believed they weren't Christian. So, you know, they had full right to, you know, they believed in manifest destiny, which means, you know, meant that, you know, Christians had all the rights to everything. And if you weren't Christian, they could do whatever they wanted to you. So on the night before Thanksgiving, the day that we celebrate now, Thanksgiving, the night before that was the harvest festival. Native Americans, every Native American typically have a harvest celebration having to do with thanking the earth and thanking the creator and the ancestors for a bounty of food that they have going into the fall, preparing for winter, and a social gathering before the snow flies so that important things can be done. You know, the elders can meet, the marriages happen, you know, families get together.
Bartering between nations.
Oh, yeah. And so everyone was gathering together with the Pequot at this time. And they had set up a line of tables to eat at, you know, going stretching across the whole village. And they had made food, and everybody had gathered and made food and placed it on the tables for the celebration the next day. Not knowing that the pilgrims were surrounding and sneaking up on the village in the dark. And at first light, while everybody was, you know, they'd worked all day the day before getting ready for the celebration, they struck. As soon as the sun came up and they could see their hands in front of their faces, they struck the village. And they managed to annihilate every woman, child, elder, man, everyone. They killed them all. And without losing any pilgrims. And so the governor of that area, they called them the governor, the leader, declared it a day of thanksgiving because they had killed all of the Pequot Indians without losing a single man.
And we're going to hear Michael Parenti saying how they were blessed by God, that God had what their enemies?
Smite their enemies.
Smite their enemy or yeah. something and given them their land for inheritance, you know?
Yep.
Anyway, we're going to hear that later. So
they sat down and ate their food that they'd made for their festival, while the boys cut off the heads of different native people and used them to play kickball around the village. Yep. There's written evidence that they played kickball with people's heads.
And this is the same thing from another story that we'll be talking about, which is the Wappinger, which is coming up.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to that. Thank you for being with me to listen to him finally. It touches my heart to share. I'll be sharing more of him if you like it. Following an especially successful raid against the Pequot in what is now Stamford, Connecticut, the church has announced a second day of Thanksgiving, quote unquote, to celebrate victory over the heathen savages, which is really easily done. Everybody's going to go, oh, wow, isn't that beautiful? Thank you so much. Oh, that's great. You know, I'm so, you know, because you're not going to ask questions. You know, oh, the government's not responsible for 9/11. Oh, okay. I'm not going to ask any questions, right? It makes sense. And it's so wonderful, right? Oh, but during the feasting, they hacked off the heads of the natives and were kicked around the streets like soccer balls. See, so go halfway between what Rolling Bear says and what I'm telling you. This is what my grandmother would always say. Truth is somewhere in the middle. You hear something from A, you hear something from B. Chances are the truth is somewhere in the middle, right? During the feasting, the hacked off heads of natives are kicked through the streets like soccer balls, okay? Even the friendly Wampanoag didn't escape the madness. Their chief was beheaded. That would have been King Philip. King Philip's head was severed and put on a stick. And I have a picture of that with the remake of that moment and in time that they did for there was We Shall Remain that did it. There was another one. Another series. I don't remember the name of it right now. But anyway, this is the idea, okay? So, yeah, I didn't know that either, right? See, so there's so much violence. And then you learn about karma, okay? And Rolling Bear will be the first one to say karma is going to bite you in the ass. No problem, okay? Yeah, but hang on a minute. Karma will do that. But what about me? What about if you do good? Oh, karma works the same way, people. You're going to, and Annie will be the first one to say it, you're going to be blessed for doing the good things that you do for people. Isn't that stupid? So everybody that's doing bad, they're going to get their you-know-what kicked, okay? I'm not going to say it again, sorry. But truthfully, right? So Rolling Bear has a saying. He says, you know, karma is only a bitch if you are. So that's how natural law works. You do good, you're going to get good back. It's like, duh. See, but everybody thinks they're getting away with this, and everybody thinks they're getting away with that. No. Would it comfort you to that I would say to you right now that nobody is getting away with anything?
That makes me so happy when I hear that. That makes me just want to go, okay, coffee time, right? Take a break. Wow. So the Wappinger, okay. Let me tell you that one real quick. The Wappinger is the same kind of thing. The Dutch, okay? The Dutch. There was a problem with the Dutch all the time, okay? In a place very close to what is now Ground Zero, okay? Think the word karma when I tell you the story. Same scenario. You'll hear the tribal name, Wappinger. You might hear a different tribal name because there's confusion about what the sources were for the story, and some people called it a different tribal name. But the story remains the same, and that's the only reason why I kept it, to tell it, because the story stays the same, except the people. Like, you're going to hear the Pequot, you know, the people in the tribes change. That's how much they were doing it and enjoying doing it, I might add. The Wappinger were enjoying New York City area, let's say, okay? And I'm not saying this is true either. Please look it up. Same thing. The Dutch come in, give the Indians money, and say, we're buying your land. And they say, no, you're paying rent like you usually do. And they said, no, we're buying it. Indian says, no. Buying is ridiculous. Land is not for sale. We cannot sell you the land. We are the protectors. We are the people that take care of the land for the next seven generations. Okay? The land is not ours to sell. We do not understand. Okay? So they leave. And on the way back, they start laughing at each other. Like, you know, we're sitting here asking them. We're sitting there telling them. And like, what are we doing? They bring down their best military and strongest men, and probably biggest men too. And go down and kill everybody in the village, literally. They know how many people are in the village, right? They've checked out everything. They've done their homework. Like Rolling Bear says, as soon as they could see their hands in front of their faces, you know what that is? That's a war term. Whenever you can see that your hand in front of your face, I kid you not, my instinct, every time I hear that phrase, that's a war phrase. I don't know why I'm thinking that, but that's something in war or in military training or something. That's not a normal phrase to use on the street, is what I mean. As soon as you could see your hand in front of your face, you know, I love that. This is what they did. They came, the Dutch military came in, slaughtered everybody, and then looked at each other and say, wow, that was easy. What are we going to do? They're not going to believe that we did it. Well, why don't we bring back something that they're going to recognize? So they behead only the people that are dead that they'll recognize, like the chief or, you know, council or whatever, or women, children, right? Put them in baskets, go home, and enjoy a game of kickball right around what is now Ground Zero. I'm sorry, but this is the kind of stuff that resonates with me, okay? I'm not saying it's true. Believe me. All I'm saying is that it really touches me. You know what else touches me? And I was going to start with this because I was trying to get a surprise going for Annie, but I kept that picture that Annie put up with her and Rick in what do you call those signs, Steve? What are those signs called?
Signs?
I don't.
What signs?
The sign that I'm showing right now on the screen? The
billboard.
What are those?
Billboard.
Those signs?
Billboard.
Billboards. Thank you. See, billboard is how you say it in American, right? My attitudes will always be based on how you treat me, it says. And I thought that was adorable. It's her and Rick together on the beach.
I said an American.
Well, you know, billboard, right? They don't say billboard in Canada. There's another word for it.
Oh, okay.
I forget what it is.
Okay.
Or there's one company that's really well known, and that's what they use for the name of doing that, like billboards. I forget what it was. Getting back to what I'm reading on the chat, yes, I understand, gruesome, yes, and that's why it has to be told, because once you understand how brutal the taking over, the theft, the genocide of this country was, the more your heart becomes tender, the more you understand what your job is. This is Luca talking about Luca's journey only. And that's why I became the way I became. It's like, no, I'm not going to be a part of you guys. Screw that. You know, and there's the Indians saying, get away from the city. Oh, I got to say this. I'm setting myself up without even realizing it for saying this. And this is important. But I want to finish with Annie and Rick first. It's a beautiful picture in front of palm trees. And they're together. And there's that face. And you can tell, you know, she's loving her man, right? And he's holding her up. My attitudes, and you can tell, you know, they can both be saying it to one another. My attitudes will always be based on how you treat me. Okay? Wow. This next one shows a very, very sad Indian. And it's been prophesied. The Hopi have been saying it for some say 26,000 year cycle. 6 year. This is the 6,000 year cycle is what they're talking about. That's how they talk. Okay. And they're saying that in this cycle here, quote, and tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think I am. See, this is again, another. This is the truth. Okay. This is truth. Capital T coming at you. It's been prophesied. It's in the Bible too. No matter how you want to slice it, it is. This is what the Indian is saying. If you look at the future coming up, many will become sick, others will lose their strength, yet others will no longer be able to dream and have visions. For some people, that could be the dumbing down. For some other people, it could be just, you know, life breaking down and people just losing it, which is something else that the Hopi are prophesizing. People that don't have a spiritual base, they will not make it through what's coming. Okay? Back to the quote. Man will start waging war against his fellow man for no reason. And this was written, what, in 1800-something? He will prove incapable of telling the truth and treating his brother with honesty. Furthermore, he will no longer be able to survive on his land. His life will be filled with resentment and sadness. Gradually, in the end, man will poison himself and everything he touches. All of this has been foretold. And that's from Dakota Yangtonwan Hanupa. See? And what I'm feeling is I'm feeling some positive in there. I am. Because that's what I want to leave you on. And I'm going to explain why. Because it's honesty, okay? You're reading that, and first thing my instinct tells me, that is not what's going to be happening to me. That is not me. They're not talking about me, right? I'm walking home from my walk to the grocery store, a mile and three quarters that I love doing, and it was cold weather, right? I'm walking, and I've never told this story before. There's a tree. What's left of it sitting there, it looks like it's abused and it's right on the road and everybody's driving by without even seeing it, right? And there's this, what's left of a rusted post sunk in the concrete, okay? So picture a square of concrete with that rusted post in it and it's all leaning against the tree because everything's falling apart. But I look at that and I see the rust pole leaning against the tree. And you know what? I took a picture. I came home. 5 minutes later, this is what came out. Rust in Concrete says, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what my kind have done. Me, who is only born of concrete and rusted metal, I'm so sorry. Please forgive us. Like any would say, for they know not what they do. Okay, and let me become more like you. And the rusted post is leaning on the tree. What does the tree do? If they don't move, the tree is going to become part of it because it's going to grow around it. This is what the tree answers. The tree says, my dear one, may there be more people, may there be more like you. Welcome home. And may I wrap myself around you as well. You know the story about the bicycle that you leave leaning against a tree, and then the guy goes to war, supposedly. That's been debunked, that story, but I believe it. And he comes back, and I don't know how many years later, the tree is wrapped around. The actual bike is inside the tree with the wheels sticking out because the tree grew around it. And they've seen other stories like that about things left around in and around a tree that the tree has grown around. Beautiful. And it made me think of that. And I want to leave you with a five-year-old, shipwrecked, freckled, red-haired kid that just wakes up. Look at him now. You never would have thought. Okay? As he comes to, coughing up seawater and feeling really weak. But catching himself as he starts to fall backwards, the little five-year-old realizes, he starts to realize quickly that he's the only survivor of the now wreck of his ship, strewn along the shoreline, as far as he can see, bodies mangled with parts of the shipwreck, okay? And as soon as he manages to slowly rise up from the twisted beams around him and feeling, you know, getting free from all that, all of a sudden he feels like he's getting grabbed and helped out of the dangerous area by the Wampanoag. They heard the noise and the shipwreck, the noise and the gale the night before, and came down to investigate, okay? The little redhead comes out from Europe, little Scott, with red dots and almost pink skin. Look at him now. Look at him. Several moons later, he's talking like them. He's laughing and playing like them. He's dressed like them. He's running around and hunting like them and with them. Honored by them, he is now one of them. And you wouldn't know except for the redhead and freckles. Okay? That's what I mean. It doesn't matter who you are. Look at me. You know, an Iranian can come down to a sweat lodge that the Indians are having and be welcomed. It's all about intent. And that's what I focus on. It's all about intent. Thank you. Sarah, thank you, Melissa, thank you, Boston Mark, thank you, Annie, cute, love you guys. Yeah, it's the end of my show. Okay, so that means I can start playing my song because it's a 2-minute song. We can start doing that and I can start saying thank you to everybody. My producer, especially, did you want to say anything else, Steve, behind the music?
Nope, you're good.
Okay, hang on. We are good and we're going to go away with this song. And I hope everybody's going to be at peace this week and just make sure that your heart knows that you're doing the best you can and that's all you can do. And the rest is history. Love everybody, and we'll see you next week. Be safe, everybody.